Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. That was awesome. You did a great job. I'm so proud of you. All of us like to receive compliments. But why? Why do certain words give us an emotional boost? In 2008, a research team from Japan discovered that when we receive a compliment, the pleasure center in our brain that's activated is the same one that's activated when we win money. So even though compliments can't pay the bills, there is some truth to saying, I feel like a million bucks. That pleasurable feeling gives us some confidence and some comfort. According to Mark L. Knapp, a communications expert at the University of Texas at Austin, when someone gives us a compliment, we end up incorporating that into how we see ourselves. He said, quote, "We all seek recognition and support in order to live a healthy life. And when there are no compliments, we feel psychologically undernourished." So that means it's important both to give and to receive compliments. Our psyche just needs them in order to live. It's like psychological food. But just like how some people always crave physical food, it can be really easy to crave the rush we get when we're complimented. For example, in 2010, Dr. Marcia Reynolds, a behavioral scientist, published a book called Wonder Woman: How High-Achieving Women Find Content and Direction. In an article about her research, she said this: "I found that the more accomplished a woman was, the more she confused what gave her applause with what gave her an internal sense of satisfaction. Once she experienced that high of recognition, she kept striving to recapture it. But if your purpose rests on recognition, you will always be looking for something more. That's the difference between having a calling versus feeding a craving. A calling is fueled by the pleasure you get from what you're creating. A craving is driven by getting attention and recognition for the good work you produce." So even though it's good to give and receive compliments, sometimes we do things just because we want others to appreciate us. We feed the craving. We want to hear that applause again. We want to be given that award again. We want that chemical rush again. Because we know that a high from one compliment doesn't last very long. And sometimes we even turn to God for that added boost. Right? I mean, if it feels good when another person gives you a compliment, imagine the rush you feel when you hear that God is pleased with you. Isn't that why so many Christians want to hear that line, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? If you heard God say those six words to you, that would be amazing, wouldn't it? That would make you feel great. In today's gospel reading, Jesus' disciples were seeking affirmation and applause from him. They've just returned from telling others the good news. And as soon as they regroup, they say, "Lord, in your name, even the demons submit to us." Basically, they were really proud of what they did. They were bragging and boasting and patting each other on the back. And you can imagine the buzz and excitement that was in the room when they were talking. Sometimes this same kind of excitement happens today when people talk about what's going on in their congregations. Like, we serve this many people in our feeding ministry. We help this many people at our soup kitchen. We built this many homes for people who are homeless. Or even, we had this many people in worship. We received this much money in offerings. We had this many people come to this event. In order to encourage others to pat us on the back, sometimes we start patting ourselves. That's because numbers are so easy to count and compare and congratulate. But even though numbers have their place, relying on them for your sense of self-worth can be dangerous. When you have big numbers, then you feel like you're successful and people should congratulate you. And when you have small numbers, then you might feel hopeless or like a failure. But neither of those is true. Right? The disciples were expecting Jesus to congratulate them because their numbers were good. They were waiting to hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servants." But Jesus didn't say that. When they say, "Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us," he comes back with, "I watch Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning." Now, at first, that line sounds like it's got nothing to do with what the disciples were just talking about. That's because when a lot of people hear that line, they think about what? Satan rebelling against God, falling from heaven, and then becoming the first resident of hell. But that idea is from Dante's Inferno, not the Bible. What's really going on here is that Jesus is basically saying, "You're proud you defeated demons? Well, I defeated Satan. He was knocked down as quickly as lightning flashes from heaven. You took care of the minions, but I took care of the leader." In other words, even if we are proud of the good things that we do, none of it will ever be the same as what Jesus has done for us. None of us will ever be the savior of the world. Now, is this just Jesus' way of one-upping the disciples? No, of course not. Jesus isn't into competition like that. Instead, he's helping them to keep perspective. He's humbling them. Right? He doesn't want them to get a big head. Yes, he appreciates what they did, but listen to what else he says. "See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Okay, well, what does "your names written in heaven" mean? I don't think it means that you're on God's honor roll list. It's not like you've achieved a 4.0 in being a Christian. Right? There are no valedictorians in the life of faith. No, having your names written in heaven is more like being on the roster of those who have been sent out to share the gospel. Right? Go back to the first part of this reading. Before the disciples return and celebrate, Jesus sent them out. He called them. He empowered them. He trusted them. even though they were nobodies in the eyes of the world, they were somebodies to Jesus. Think about that. Even though you are a nobody in the eyes of the world, you are a somebody to Jesus. You might not have a lot of followers or subscribers or people who like what you say. You might not get the appreciation and recognition you think you deserve, but what you do have is Jesus. And he has already made you important because he has called you to follow. And yes, following him is hard work. Jesus is even honest here about how some people won't welcome you. Right? As he tells the disciples, there will be people who won't listen to you. That was true in their day, and it's true in ours. But think of it like this. If you share Jesus' love, and very few people respond, then that's not your fault. You can't control the actions of others. If you reach out to your neighbors and no one reaches back to you, then you are still being a good disciple. If you tell others the good news and they look at you like you're a weirdo, then shake the dust off your feet and know that you still did what you could. Even if no one compliments you or appreciates you or pats you on the back, your success as a disciple is not based upon what people think. And even if they do compliment you and appreciate you and pat you on the back, then your success as a disciple is still not based upon what they think. Your success as a disciple is based on the fact that Jesus has called you. You have an important role to play. But ultimately, it's about him, not you. So that is both a heavy burden, and it takes a lot of pressure off at the same time. Jesus gives you purpose and meaning and importance. So rather than feeding the craving of looking for compliments, listen to the calling from Christ. Come and follow him. He gives you importance. He wants to change the world through you. And you are vital in how he wants to reach others. And that is awesome. So in the name of the one who calls you to share his love with others, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.